This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WTIC Pet Talk. Today, Dr. Andrea Dennis from the Bloomfield Animal Hospital takes your pet health questions. Whether you have a dog, cat, or hamster, this is a show for you and your best friend. Call in now at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. And now, Pet Talk.
Good afternoon. It is wonderful outdoors. It's nice and warm, and it is an absolute pleasure to be able to spend an hour with you here on a Saturday afternoon. I am Dr. Andrea Dennis from the Bloomfield Animal Hospital, and you know what that means, that we are going to spend the next 50 minutes or so talking about veterinary issues. Primarily, this is my area of specialty, and we can talk about anything having to do with your pets. It doesn't have to be a question, actually. Even just a comment, something you've gone through that you feel would really help others that are going through similar situations. You know, I deal with the medicine aspect and sometimes behavioral issues that are quite tied in to medicine, but also too because I am sort of people look to me for advice. We are seeing a lot of behavioral challenges. Let me put it that way. I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that people adopted and are adopting more and more dogs that are not necessarily 6 to 8 weeks old. They're not really necessarily buying them from a breeder, but they're adopting these dogs that are not wanted. And they come into our lives after a lot of behavioral instincts are kind of are learned by the time you adopt them at 6 months, 8 months old. So I've never seen anything like this in this time period in veterinary medicine, but we are using a lot of medications, a lot of anti-anxiety medication. So there might be an issue there that is not really about training, but really more about that behavior. Lori Fass is here on the alternate weekends, and she can really handle your training questions. And for now, though, give me a call and we can talk about anything having to do with your pets. And that's 860-522-WTIC or 522-9842. And I'm going to open up those phone lines. Kevin will put you in the queue. Because it is so gorgeous, I thought, geez, that as the warmer weather of the year does arrive, we need to be aware and diligent about protecting ourselves and our pets from some of the culprits and the diseases they transmit. Actually, May is recognized as the Lyme Disease Awareness Month. And because of that, I wanted to kind of go over Lyme disease. You know, it's been a mystery, but some people consider a mystery for a long time, and we're learning more and more about it. But it all reality, this infection known today as Lyme disease, and of course, you know, it's named after the Connecticut town of Lyme, it's actually been around for at least a century. But that public awareness and the confusion did not really occur until the late 1980s. And this was due to media exposure to this infection, leaving some people kind of having some basic knowledge, but not complete knowledge. The canine experience of Lyme disease is very different from that of a human infection. And the reason I'm not really including cats in this conversation is because it rarely occurs as a disease process in cats. Now, even though ticks will attach to cats, they really succumb to the disease. Actually, once I had a client that called saying that, you know, her cat, which is an indoor-outdoor cat, she just noticed these tumors on her cat's eyelids. Now, something like that, to see tumors come up pretty quickly, didn't sound right. So we told her, we'll fit her in for the day. Take her as a urgent care visit. And when I examined the cat, it wasn't tumors. What it was were tiny little ticks just attached across both upper eyelids. It totally grossed out most of the staff, but we handled it and we removed them. But that cat, and they were deer ticks. We were able to identify them, what type of ticks they are. And that's the deer tick, which is the main tick that transmits Lyme. That cat, once we removed them, was perfectly fine, never succumbed to the disease. But again, we don't really see Lyme disease in cats. So that's why it's not that I'm excluding them in the conversation totally, but just the fact that there is more. The canine Lyme disease is really what we see. So after exposure of the Lyme organism, about 90% of humans will ultimately develop symptoms, but only about 5% of dogs will actually experience the disease. And what some of these differences, I'll continue on with. The first lesson to be learned about Lyme disease is that, again, we generally do not see a rash in people after they're being bitten by a tick, which is which transmit the organism, which is called Borrelia burgdorferi. 90% of humans will develop a rash and flu-like symptoms. Then about 60% of them will have joint pain, and then 15% can actually get neurological issues, and a very small percentage can actually have cardiac issues as well. But at the same time, in dogs, they have yet to show any symptoms, even though they may have had a tick present. It's been on them for over 48 hours. 90% of dogs will never show any symptoms. So that's one of the big differences. And that's why you'll probably recognize the fact that when you have your annual visit with your dog, with your veterinarian, where they're asking not only to test for heartworm disease, but also to test for these other tick-borne diseases. Because even though they're not clinically showing outward signs, they can still have the organism that's still, you know, causing some havoc internally. When the canine illness, when they actually act sick, it does not begin to manifest itself for weeks after they've been infected. And at which point, arthritis is usually the main sign. Sometimes there's a fever. Most canine Lyme patients respond really well to the proper antibiotics. Doxycycline is probably the most common one that we use. But there's also a few unlucky dogs that develop an associated kidney disease. It's a glomerular disease. It's right in the core of the center of the kidney. And many of these, you can't tell which dogs have this issue unless you do some testing, including a urinalysis. So because of that, what's the best thing that we can do for our pets? And that is good tick control. I live tick and fleas. I live this world. And for me, it's very simple to know the difference between the tick and a flea. Some people don't. And the reason why we kind of associate them together is because obviously there's the time of year. They both are really more abundant and active when the weather is warmer. But fleas can jump. Fleas can actually cause a lot of skin infections, skin dermatitis, whereas the ticks, they tend to transmit diseases. Not that fleas can't, but we see, especially in this northeast, in this part of the country, we tend to see a lot of tick-borne diseases. So because of that, if we can go ahead and do our best to examine our pets as they come in, cats included, you know, we don't want them bringing ticks into the house or fleas into the house. And there's a little caveat about cats and going outside that I'll get back to a little bit later. But I think if we can really work with your veterinarian and their staff about making sure the best preventative for you, you have lots of different options to how to prevent ticks from attaching, how to and fleas, and of course heartworm. So there's lots of options. You got to figure out what's best for you. There are some things that are topical that you put on the skin of the dog and the cat, and there's others that they take orally. I know a lot of younger families that have children, and they do not want any topicals. They don't want any collars, flea or tick collars on, and they prefer the oral. But there are many excellent products. I have my preference. I really don't want people to have to worry about whether it has to be given with food or not food. So really have this conversation, but please, in this time of year, please consider putting these products into there. Most of them are once a month, and keep putting those products into your kind of routine. And I know so many of you do, but this is one of our main reasons for protecting our pets, or using these products to protect our pets. And even though, you know, it takes about 48 hours for a tick, a deer tick in particular, to transmit Lyme disease, a lot of people, they're so tiny, a lot of people don't see them. And that's why we need those products. And some of these products will also allow the tick to attach. You may see the tick, but if you're using some of these products, the mouth part doesn't work appropriately, so it can't transmit the disease.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Even if you don't catch it before 48 hours. So some of those, any comments, please feel free to call in. And again, I'm going to take a quick break, but we'll have you join us on Pet Talk, where you're listening to the Veterinary Edition. And we're on WTIC News Talk 1080. Welcome back. We are talking about that gross subject of ticks and some of the diseases they transmit. But we live here in Connecticut, and many of you listeners are outside of Connecticut. Some of you listen online, and places like Western Pennsylvania is another issue another concentrated air issue that we have tick-borne diseases. But welcome back to the Veterinary Edition of Pet Talk. I'm Dr. Andrea Dennis, and I'd like to extend the offer for you to call in and call about anything, any subject having to do with your pets. It doesn't have to do with ticks. It doesn't have to do with Lyme disease. And that number is 860-522-9842. I know the weather is gorgeous out there. Some of you are out there doing errands. But if you want to just pull over to the side of the road, ask your question. I'll try to get you in as soon as I can. But it's better now. I have the time to talk. And that's what I appreciate the most about being here, is being able to communicate with you, hear some of your concerns. And I do feel that I am in touch with my clients, but also I learn a lot from you as well. So please give us a call at 522-9842, and we'll get you in. So talking again, going just to finish up a little bit on the Lyme disease and the tick issue, and that is that, you know, even if your dogs and cats are on tick and flea prevention, and some of them also have heartworm combined too, which of course that's transmitted by a mosquito. But the most common areas to find ticks in your dog, and especially if they're long-haired, is in and around the ears, around their eyelids. I just told you that story about this kitty cat that was eyelids were covered with these ticks. Under the collar, And also, like underneath those legs, you know, look underneath the legs, not just on top, between the back legs, in between the toes, and around the tail. Obviously, it makes sense that around the head is the most common issue, is because of the fact that, you know, a lot of dogs are curious, and they poke their heads in the bushes. They poke their heads in the tall grass. That's what they do. So let's see if we can go ahead and at least check them every night. I check my dog every time they come in. And I even like kind of comb him in the garage and kind of catch anything that might be crawling. And yes, even with many of these products, you will still see ticks. They're not necessarily a repellent. You'll see ticks, but also you can go ahead and they will attach, but they will die, or they're at least become where they're incapable of transmitting the disease before they actually fall off. And yes, we also, in terms of Lyme disease for dogs, because there is a vaccination. Talk to your veterinarian about that. We use it quite often. We use it quite a bit. And it has been very effective. We've been using it for decades now. Very effective, very safe in dogs. And because again, we don't see it that often in cats. That's why we don't really, there isn't a vaccine that's made for them. And that's another reason why we don't kind of worry about it. But talk to your veterinarian about the vaccination for a dog. So I am going to take my first call, and that's Dave. Hey, Dave, how's it going?
Oh, very good. Hang on, let me turn up the radio. You kind of just answered my first question. I was wondering, you know, how much they're susceptible to Lyme disease, and if they should be vaccinated.
You said cats? I'm sorry. Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, cats.
Dogs. Yeah, no, do not worry about your cats at this point. I have yet to diagnose any kind of Lyme or recognize Lyme in a cat. I'm not going to say never, ever, but one, the vaccine is only approved for dogs, and it does a great job. So we don't even have one that we can give with cats. Even the testing, even to try to test a cat, we're not sure that the same tests are as accurate, but I would not worry. I think for me, obviously getting ticks, they have to be outdoors. For me, indoor...
Yeah, well, I have a cat. I mean, he's outdoors all the time, and he hunts, and he's in the bushes and everywhere. So just...
Do you use do you still use a preventative, like a topical for him to help him kill the ticks?
Yeah, well, I do the flea thing.
Oh, okay. The flea. And you put it on top of the skin?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's really good. Those products, a lot of the topical ones are excellent against fleas and ticks, because we still don't want them bringing them in the house. The other thing that cats can get too, which we don't discuss that often, and that's probably my fault, is they can also get heartworm disease. It tends, like dogs get heartworm, but cats can get it, and that's transmitted by a mosquito. So one of the products, Dave, and you know, I would kind of consider with a cat that's outdoors as much as yours is there's a product called Revolution that does everything, fleas, ticks, and heartworm, but that's a prescription, and you would have to have the conversation with your veterinarian. But we're seeing a lot more heartworm too, as well, because mosquitoes aren't going away.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. And the difference, we call it heartworm disease. The difference is that these worms tend to live in the cat's lungs more than the heart, but it's still the same parasite. And the only way they get it is they do it. It's if the mosquito is carrying it. So it's another vector, the flea. I mean, I'm getting confused. The mosquito.
No, it's another vector. I got you.
Okay. The mosquito that transmits the heartworm. Yeah. So talk to
him. What about, I was going to ask, all right, so I got you on that one.
Uh-huh.
So just having ticks and stuff, that's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, he, you know, doesn't usually get them. All right, wait, let me change that.
Okay.
My main question is, he's a hunter.
Yeah.
He eats a lot of rodents, you know, rabbits, squirrels, I'm sorry, but he does.
Right.
Is there any downside? Risk in that?
Yeah, there are. There's intestinal parasites that are risk. I have a cat that I just diagnosed with a lung worm, and that's from eating snails. That's from eating little bodies of water. So that's the other reason why the veterinary office, when you kind of get your card, it's time for the rabies shot. Can you bring in a stool sample? Now, your cat probably only goes to the bathroom outside, right?
No, actually, we have a box inside.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So that it gets to the point where he starts, like, you know, tearing apart the wood trim. Yeah. He's like a 21, 22 pounder.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah,
he's a big guy.
I gotta let him outside once in a while.
Yeah, no, he's a obviously
he's not but fat. He's just big.
Well, one, I would definitely keep him up to date on his rabies shot. He's at risk for rabies, so that's one thing. And then the other thing would be this, because he does eat the critters, the stool. And if he does let you pet him, kind of pet him around his tail, lift up his tail, because tapeworms is something that they can get too. But you'll see like little spit. They almost look like pieces of sesame seeds on the fur if he has tapeworms. So yes, there are things to watch out for, but a stool sample and just examination should help that.
Okay. Yeah, I was just generally curious.
Yeah. I mean, he has been
an indoor cat for like 5 years, but like I said, now he needs to go out.
Yeah, I can understand that. Well, I'm going to have to make a hard stop right now, Dave, because of news.
Ahead.
But thank you for your questions. I really appreciate it.
Yeah
thank Thanks you.
For
but, your
time.
Of bye-bye. Course. Bye-bye. Hey, Barbara, we're going to get to your call right after the news break, but I have to do what my Kevin tells me to do. Come on back for more Pet Talk on WTIC News Talk 1080. I love Saturdays. And I particularly love coming to the studio and being a part of Pet Talk. I'm Dr. Andrea Dennis, and I welcome you to participate in our show. As many of you know, I alternate Saturdays with Lori Fass, who can answer your pet training questions. But I'm also deal with a lot of behavior, obviously medicine issues as well. And it's always a pleasure to be here. We've been talking about some of the Lyme disease, and I know Massachusetts is another state that deals with a lot of ticks. Isn't that the case, Barbara? Barbara, are you with me?
Yes. Can you hear me?
I can. You are on the air.
Okay. My question is not about Lyme disease, though.
Sure. That's fine.
It's about behavior.
Okay.
And I have a small poodle, and she paws me, and because she wants me to pet her,
mm-hmm.
and I pet her, and she tends to growl.
Okay. Does she snap at you as well? Will she snap at you, like use her mouth?
Today she did.
Okay. So how old is she, Barbara? How old is she?
She's 11.
She's 11. Is this behavior? So I'm assuming she's on your lap. She's small.
Yeah.
Right?
When
this is happening. So has she always been this way, or do you feel like it started a couple of years ago and just getting worse?
It started a few years ago, and it's getting worse.
Okay.
And if I stop, then she paws me again and looks at me, and then I start petting her, and she's fine for a while, but then she'll growl.
Right.
Also, like this morning, she was up on the chair, and I wanted her down, and I picked her up.
Mm-hmm.
And she was really growling.
Yeah. And that's scary. And again, I don't know if she has something that is bothering her, something that's hurting here, the fact that she's, you said 11?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, some of the things that I worry about, and you may have already had to deal with this, but a small dog, they tend to be more prone to what we call periodontal disease, teeth that are loose, teeth, the gums that are sore. It's just something we see genetically, and the older they are,
yeah.
How are her teeth?
I did last year have her teeth cleaned.
Good.
And she needed a few extractions
okay.
as well.
Okay. And so when is her, does she have an upcoming then? If that was done last year, does she have an upcoming visit that's planned at the veterinary office?
No. She did, but it was nothing to do. It was her routine.
Okay. And so they felt like her mouth wasn't sore. So these are some of the things, again, that in not having seen her, touch her, I worry about the mouth. And you have to remember, like, when we, even though something was done a year ago, it's almost like 7 years in between our dental visits or our going to the doctor. I mean, a lot can change in 6 months, especially as they are over 10. The other thing is arthritis. Does she have some subtle arthritis in her shoulder? If she's not always showing us her, the back is another issue that, you know, this breed tends to be a little, she's a poodle, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And how much does she weigh? About?
3 pounds.
She's teeny tiny then.
Yeah.
Yeah. So your hand.
I mean, I'm not afraid of her hurting me, but I don't like her doing this.
No. And I agree with you, but I'm trying to explain why is this happening now after all this time? And going back to the behavior part of it, that's why I would definitely, even though she's had her visit, I would do a follow-up. That would be my recommendation. Say, listen, her behavior has changed. I just need to make sure nothing else is going on. Can you, again, evaluate her joints, her back, her mouth? Sometimes I have seen changes. Have you ever heard of the condition called hypothyroidism or low thyroid? I've had dogs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they can get low thyroid as well. That requires a blood test to test for it. But I've seen behavioral changes because of their low thyroid. So you always want to rule out the medical possibilities first. And that I'm saying would be well taken care of with just another visit, just to concentrate on this, not here's a rabies vaccine and an overall look. But again, especially the joints, I don't know if she ever had luxated knees or kneecaps that went in and out.
Yes,
she does.
Back,
yep.
Right paw.
Yeah.
She's had problems with off and on.
Yes.
She would hold it up like.
Yes, that's usually, and it's, again, I'm basing this just based on her size and her breed of some of the more common things we see. So the luxated or a popping kneecap that goes in and out is something that many small dogs are born with, but it also leads to early arthritis because that kneecap is not the most stable. So again, my advice would be, let's go and have her be seen, talk about this issue, make sure that there's not arthritis brewing in her knees. We've got some great pain medication that can really help arthritis. But she's at 10,
okay.
11 years old. I don't think, my last thing, tell me if I'm wrong, my last thing is sometimes too, at this age, we start to see some cognitive changes. We see some confusion. Yes, I know. Yes. So, and, you know, this kind of change in her behavior, but at the same time, it's not acceptable. If she does that, you have to tell her, no, I don't want, you know, when she is growling, telling her no, she may, you know, the reward of being pet at all may not happen. She may have to stay, you know, on the rug, on the floor, rather than be up on furniture. But again, we can give you some really good behavioral things to do, but I don't want to miss something medically.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, that does make sense.
Okay.
Yes.
And this way the visit is all about.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And the time and the visit with your veterinarian is all about this.
Okay.
All
right. Thank you so much.
All right, be safe.
Okay. Okay.
Bye.
You too. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I mean, we may be 3 pounds, but, you know, the only thing, and I'm sure I'm repeating myself, but the only thing that ever put me in the hospital in my profession, and I've been stepped on by horses, I've been kicked by cows, shoved over by a giraffe, but it was the tiniest kitten that bit me on my finger, my fingertip. I mean, granted, it had a broken pelvis, so it was in pain. And I was examining him gently, but he just turned around real quick, bit me on the finger. And the next thing I could just see in my right arm, this red line going up my arm. And, you know, I had septicemia that was forming right then and 3 days in the hospital and IV antibiotics. So size of an animal does not change my aspect in terms of being careful and trying to prevent bites of any kind. So that's my last words of wisdom. So let's take a short break. I'm going to have some open phone lines. So if you want to give us a call and get in the queue, we'll do that and take those last minute calls before the end of the show. But let's take my short break and we'll be back with more Pet Talk on WTIC. Welcome back. This is Dr. Andrea Dennis. I am the host of your veterinary edition of Pet Talk. And we were listening to the Run for the Roses, and which is very timely, which was done intentionally by our helper with our music producer, Justin Levine, that picked out some of this music this afternoon. Because, of course, we have the Kentucky Derby today. And many of you, I'm sure, are going to tune in. It's one of those fastest races ever. The animals are beautiful, gorgeous. I do not bet on the race, but I do watch it. You may know or may not that I did do a residency in large animal medicine and worked with a lot of horses, and particularly race horses. They are the amazing individuals. I mean, their musculature, their size, you have to talk about being careful around animals, but at the same time, they can be very fragile too, so they have to be well taken care of. I've actually spent several weeks on a foaling farm, which means a lot of the mares, which are the female horses, would have these racing horses. The foals would be born in California. And we were up all night delivering some of these amazing creatures. So,
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Celebrating the Kentucky Derby, and hopefully everyone will stay safe. Most important. We've been talking about time of year, preventing fleas, preventing ticks. I want to go back a little bit. I want to skip around a little bit before the end of our show. And we do have time. If you have a quick phone call, I'm happy to take it at 860-522-9842. Happy to do so. We just don't have a lot of time left, but Kevin will get you in ASAP. But when we were talking about Dave, whose cat now really wants to go outside, and some of the concerns, even though they don't really succumb to Lyme disease, outdoor cats still have other issues that we have to deal with, other risks, and especially a hunter. And my warning, which I have been talking about this since October, and that is the avian flu issue. And I am not generally an alarmist. I like to be careful and I like to be knowledgeable. But what we're seeing is some positive cases in poultry, people that have poultry, hens that are laying eggs in the backyard. We're starting to see some of them be seriously ill with this avian flu. We're also seeing it in cats. Now, not so much here in Connecticut yet, but Colorado in particular is really having a bird flu issue. You know, originally it predominantly threatened their poultry and their dairy farms as the infection was being transmitted from wild birds to the farms. Some farmers have been forced to really destroy their entire flock of chickens and hens as a result of this infection. This is unfortunately one of the ways that they control the spread of the virus. The dairy farms have been able to kind of track the virus through the cattle and their milk. Most cattle do recover. What you see with the dairy cattle is that their milk production is down. They don't eat as well, and they have some upper respiratory symptoms. They have also found the virus in their milk. So there is another warning, is that if you drink raw milk, and cats that have been drinking raw milk have gotten this disease as well, this avian flu. But pasteurized milk is very safe to drink. But again, there's constant observation, but we're tracking all the different infections. Many farmers are being very forthcoming and reaching out to state authorities. I think it's state by state at this point versus a federal issue. But again, we are seeing cats passing away from this disease. Again, not so much here in the Northeast, but we need to be prepared. And there's someone, a client called yesterday saying that their dog they found a dead bird in the dog's mouth. The dog, whether he found it on the ground or he actually attacked it and killed it, we're not sure. But he was worried about avian flu. We have not seen that canines are as susceptible to this. If it was a feline, if it was a cat that had caught this bird, I would just recommend keeping them isolated, keeping them in the house, and observing him. Because again, there's not a lot that we can do. As you know, there's many viruses that you have to just kind of treat them through it, keep them well hydrated, prevent secondary infections. But we are seeing deaths related to this. So avian flu, you know, let's not ignore it. Let's be, even though you may or may not have birds in your backyard or live close to it, that let's be quite diligent. And if you're seeing anything that you think your cat is not feeling well, and you know they've been outside, they've been around other birds, or just let us know and let your veterinarian know as well. Okay, so I deviated, and that was just kind of taking Dave's phone call a little bit in a little different direction in terms of what we have to look out for cats. The other thing this time of year is that is the coyotes too. How many of you are listening and hearing coyotes at midnight last night? I could hear them from my bedroom, and I'm on the second floor, and just the coyotes being very, very active. Many people feel that if they don't have a small dog like Barbara with her little 3-pounder, that they don't have to worry. I have had Jack Russells kind of grabbed, you know, a little 18, 20-pounder that was outside in the backyard, and a coyote just came and grabbed it, took it away. Don't leave your pets, don't leave your dogs, no matter what size, unattended outside. That would be my advice. I've also had a 56-pound dog that was attacked by coyotes, because even though you see one, there's others that are lurking, and they do work as a pack. One of my technicians took a video. She lives in like North Granby area. She took a video of watching the coyotes unfortunately attack a deer. So they can be powerful and strong when they work together. And we're not going to talk about the bears and if you have a bird feeder out there. Okay, I'm regressing a little bit. So got just a few more minutes left, so this is what we're going to finish up on. I'm going to finish talking about our tick-borne diseases. The other one that we're seeing a lot of, and different ticks carry different diseases, we're seeing something called anaplasmosis in dogs again. And I will, when I do the testing in our hospital, we will test for heartworm, something called anaplasma, Lyme, and Ehrlichia. We see a lot of anaplasmosis, I think this year more than ever, and many dogs that we see will also have Lyme and anaplasma. Now, as I mentioned at the top of the show, just because they have the antibodies to these diseases doesn't mean that they have to be, they're sick from it. And my philosophy in practicing medicine in our hospitals and the doctors that work with me, we don't believe giving antibiotics to every single dog just because they're testing positive. We go a little deeper. We check their urine samples. We go and we look at their blood tests, make sure some of their, in particular, we're looking at something called platelets, which clot your blood. Now, I know some hospitals, if they do get a positive test, will treat with doxycycline right away. You know, and they will tell you why they feel that. So you might see a difference in opinion about how you treat testing some of these patients and if they test positive. I feel that I don't want to abuse antibiotics as part of my philosophy. Especially if they're not symptomatic, especially if the other blood tests that we do, the urine tests, all come back negative. That's one of the reasons why we don't do it. So you might find a difference when you're talking with your friends, with your neighbors, and you're finding that veterinarians are treating this testing positive for these tick-borne diseases a little bit different. That's the reason why. There's a little bit different philosophy. And it's not wrong. Neither philosophy is wrong. It's both are acceptable. It's just, this is the way that we approach it. Now, if I have a sick dog that's lame, that's limping, never had a Lyme vaccine, is also part of my thinking, and I will start them on doxycycline until I get a positive confirmatory test that their symptoms are definitely related to Lyme or anaplasma, then I will put them on doxycycline. And if it comes back positive, these other secondary tests, then we will many times do it for 30 days. So just a little bit of a difference in that philosophy. And again, another reason, why do we have to test every year? And the other thing that really needs to hit home is that urine sample for Lyme, because we'll see some chronic cases. Dogs don't really act sick, but it is affecting their kidneys. That's why we want to see a urine sample. And if that urine sample is showing any changes in the kidneys, then again, that's another reason for treating. So to clarify, we're going to be talking more about these little pesky creatures that we have to live with here in around the country, but here in particular the Northeast, we have it all. We do. We have the ticks that transmit the disease, and they are something that you can see for the most part. The deer ticks are particularly small, but if you look, and some people will tell me they will even use a magnifying glass. That's the tick is the one that transmits what we've been talking about. Fleas, which are only going to get worse. They're particularly worse as the weather gets humid, July and August. And they can cause severe skin condition. They can lead to tapeworms. They have their own disease processes that we worry about. And then the ever-important heartworm. So please make sure you get them on the prevention, because that's the main thing. We can prevent these things. So I'm going to get off my soapbox. I'm going to wish you a happy good couple of weeks, and I'll be back, and we'll see you next time.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.